Verse 24 of Matthew 7 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished these sayings, saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Last week I mentioned some of the contrasts that we have in the Gospel of Matthew as presented here in the Sermon on the Mount. And if I could just refresh your memory, some of those contrasts were true righteousness as opposed to self-righteousness. Don't be like the Pharisees. They've got a kind of righteousness that they want to show to the world, but it's false. Light as opposed to darkness. Love as opposed to hate. Generous giving from the heart as opposed to giving for the show before men. Treasure in heaven as opposed to treasure on earth. Judgment of oneself as opposed to the judgment of others. A narrow gate versus a wide gate. A narrow way versus a wide way. Good fruit versus bad fruit. And here, finally, in this picture that we have, a wise man versus a foolish man. I wonder what kind of mental image is brought before you when you read of a man who builds his house upon the sand. My guess is that living in Sydney, you perhaps envisage white sand, the kind of sand that we have around many of our beautiful beaches in Sydney. And indeed, it would be a very foolish man to build upon such sand. We might also think of the rock as being the Hawkesbury sandstone on which of many of our Sydney buildings are built. And if you've walked through the city and you see those great excavations and the metres and metres and metres of solid rock, there's a real contrast. But I suggest to you that the picture that the Lord Jesus would have created in the minds of his hearers was not of the white sands of the Sydney beaches, nor of the Hawkesbury sandstone, but rather those sands and those rocks that pertain to Palestine. The Jews had a fable that went something like this, that when God created the world, he assigned to some of his angels the task of distributing rocks around the world. And when they got to Jerusalem and Palestine, they got a bit tired, so they dropped the rest of the load there and went on their way. The picture we have of Palestine from books and videos, I haven't actually been there myself, some of you here have, I know, but the picture is not of the hard rock and the sand that we have, but rather of a very arid climate. And it might be more akin to the sort of scene we would see if we were to go to outback Australia. A few years ago I was in Alice Springs, and Valerie and I thought we'd take a shortcut back to the hotel where we were staying. We'd been to Ayers Rock and so on. And we walked across this stretch that looked like a field, but it was somewhat undulating up and down. It was dark, but we could see the lights and knew generally where we were heading. When we got about halfway across, we found we were almost stumbling across what we thought were logs, but later turned out to be the bodies of some Aboriginal folk who were taking up camp there. We later realised we could have been in some degree of danger had we trodden on these people, and they might have thought they were under attack. But in fact, where we were was in the riverbed of the Todd River. And I submit to you that the kind of picture we have of people building on the sand in Israel would be in the alluvium, the sandy waste that would be created by the flash floods that you get in these arid regions. And the man who built his house upon the sand would be in these alluvial beds. And of course, we know what happens out in our own outback country, but in arid regions and desert regions in general, when the waters come, they're not uniformly distributed over the year, but they tend to come all of a sudden. A lot of rain in a very short period, the rivers rise, and those swirling waters would do great damage. And so this is the kind of picture the Lord is painting. The foolish man who builds down on the alluvium and puts his house there, as opposed to the man who would build on higher ground, the more rocky ground, and his foundation would be solid. And what happened? The rains came, the rains beat, the winds blew, and the floodwaters came up. And that's a very important part of the effect of the rain. It's not only the rain coming down, but the waters that would come up, that would come down in these flash floods. And there's a great contrast between the effect. The foolish man's house, built down on the alluvium, washed away. The wise man, building on the high ground in the rocky place, it stood fast. The Lord Jesus is bringing this very graphic picture to the minds of these people and saying to them, those people who hear my words and do them are like the wise man. The foolish man who built in the wrong place, on the wrong foundation, he is like the one who hears but takes no notice. I wonder into which of those two categories we individually fall this morning. We often apply this picture to people who are unconverted. We say those who are Christians, well, they're like the wise man. They've built on the foundation, they've put their trust in Christ, and they're right for eternity. The foolish man has taken no notice, and he is eternally condemned. But I suggest that the primary application is for us this morning as believers to examine ourselves and to see how our house is built. The contrast that we have between the wise and the foolish man would take us back to what we've taught, what we've been taught and what we've learnt in these chapters. And I'd like to think about some of those things with you. We've been reminded by the Lord Jesus that if we are called by him, we're to be salt and light in the world, reaching out and touching those outside of Christ. We were challenged by his words about the attitude in our heart. Not what is seen outwardly, not what we do for show and for the benefit of men and for men's praise, but what comes from within our heart. Those are the things that count for God. We were told not to be like the Pharisee, who stood on the street corner and arrayed himself in white clothing, who made wide the phylacteries of his garments and stood lifting up his hands that all men might see, but rather to be like the publican who beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God looked into the heart of the publican and he was declared righteous and the Pharisee unrighteous. We've been reminded too in our readings and in our considerations not to be judgmental of others. So easy to judge. So easy to see the wrong and condemn those around us. So difficult to see the telegraph pole that's in our own eyes. We're reminded too to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and from that all of these other benefits will flow to us. I'm very conscious that as Christians, sometimes the streams of adversity will flow. The rain will beat down, the wind will come upon us, perhaps through sickness, perhaps through bereavement, perhaps through loss of position and status and job. If our house is built on the solid foundation, God will bless us and we will come through. If our house is built on the crumbling sands, then indeed we will collapse. And so the challenge this morning is to us to question ourselves, are we seeking first God's kingdom? Are we seeking to not only hear the words of the Lord Jesus, but to put them into action? It's interesting that Matthew here speaks of the reaction of the crowds. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. It's possible for us to be amazed and to say, well, these are beautiful words. I once taught with a person who was an MA in English literature, and he had no toleration whatever for the newer translations. He loved the beauty of the Old Testament, the beauty of the Authorised Version. And he'd quote some of these verses to me from the Sermon on the Mount. But he didn't know Christ, sadly. And so it's possible to admire the words of the Lord. It's possible to be amazed at the teaching. But Matthew doesn't say what happened to the people. They were amazed because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And so this morning the challenge to our hearts is, what do we do with the words of the Lord Jesus? Do we hear them and say, well, that's a beautiful saying? Do we even memorise them and quote them, as this person did? But the question is, do we put them into action in our life? For by so doing, we'll be wise men and women and help in the extension of God's kingdom.